Isaiah is really a wonderful book, right? I think, although we fellowship about the woes this morning, and yet we can say it is really wonderful. Wonderful because it is God who is speaking to us. Right? The Word of God is really living and operative. And remember, it is the breath of the living God. And let us read 2 Timothy again to remind us. It's good to be reminded all the time what Paul wrote to Timothy. Amen. First of all, let me just read to you. Chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." That means it's not going to get better. We must continue in the things which we have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Praise the Lord for this wonderful word. Right. From all these wonderful prophets we learned, from the apostles we learned, from the Holy Spirit himself we learned today. From the Lord speaking to us. Right, we must continue in the things which we have learned and been assured of. You need to be assured. Not just to take it for granted. Okay, you know, okay, it's right, it's correct. But we have to have the full assurance in our heart. This is really right. And where are you going to get the assurance? If not from the confirmation of the Holy Spirit and from the experience of so many saints in a church life today. Right? And that from childhood, so praise the Lord for the children. From childhood, don't wait until you're old, might be too late. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. That's very good, right, Elizabeth? You love the Bible? Yes. From childhood, it's good to start now. Don't wait. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the Word of God really can make us wise unto salvation in Jesus Christ. Now verse 16, all scripture is, here it says given by inspiration of God, of course it's by the inspiration of God, but the better and accurate translation is the breath of God. And the breath of God is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a breath. Both in Greek and in Hebrews, the word spirit is exactly the same word as air, breath, or wind. So you remember when the Lord appeared to the disciples after resurrection, what did he do? He breathed on them. And what did he say? Receive the doctrine. No, receive the Holy Spirit. So if we come to the Word and not breathing in the Holy Spirit and not being open in our spirit by faith to mingle the Word of God with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get anything. You may get some nice, wonderful teachings and concepts. But what you want to receive is the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, God's substance. Not just the doctrines and not just the teachings, but something of God's Spirit, of His nature, must enter into you. Otherwise, the word is not going to work. You can just know the doctrine in your head, but that is not adequate. Of course, it's better than not knowing. Right? So the New Testament ministry, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is not the letter, but it is the Spirit, because the Spirit gives life. The letter just gives you knowledge. Right? It is not adequate just to know, but why is it so many Christians and so many of us know so many things and it didn't work? I heard many Christians as well, I know so much, but it didn't work. I heard it all and it didn't work. I've been in the church life, gone through so many conferences, listened to messages, and even reading the Bible myself, but it didn't work. Well, I'm glad they testified it didn't work. Of course it didn't work, because if you're just in the realm of knowledge and understanding in your head, it's not going to work. But we need the Spirit. We need the substance of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the breath. Without that breath, whatever we know is not going to work, but it's going to condemn you because, hey, I know it, but I can't do it. So what happens? You fall into condemnation. And it has an adverse effect. At the end you say, I'm not going to read anymore, forget it, it doesn't work. Right. And that happened to quite a few believers, even amongst us. Right. So Paul says, all Scripture is the breath of God. And it's the same as what the Lord Jesus Christ said, right, in John chapter 6. The words that I have spoken to you, what are they? Spirit and life. Because it is the Spirit that gives life. And the life is that very substance that gives you and helps you to experience the reality. We know this for so many years, and yet somehow we missed it because it's not a matter of doctrine. And Paul gave us a warning, knowledge puffs up. Oh, I know. I know. So what if you know? Right. You have to ask, do I have the substance of what I know? Do I have the reality? Am I in the experience? Do I live it out? Or do I just know it and not touching and living out the substance of the Word? And this is very important. Right. And it says here, All scriptures, during the time when Paul said, all scriptures, which scriptures does he mean? Did he have a New Testament from Matthew all the way to Revelation, like what you have today? No, of course not. So which scriptures was he referring to? Genesis to Malachi. Just Moses? And the Psalms and the prophets. What about the historical book? Yes, of course. Because it is living. It's not doctrine. Right? That's why it's a historical book. History is alive. History is the reality of what took place and what happened. The Bible is the most wonderful historical book describing God's interaction with his people in the ancient days. Right? And we learn, and we can learn a lot from history. Learn not to repeat it. It was Matthes, General Matthes. He says, what we learn from history is that it repeats itself. That's not a good way to learn from history. But he's speaking the truth. But unfortunately, that's what he learned. But are you going to repeat history? Are you going to repeat it? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul talked about history. Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through, of course, the Red Sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Wow, and that rock was Christ. Can you imagine? Paul says, that rock, the smitten rock, where water gushed out of that rock, was Christ. But then, verse 5, let's read it all together. 10, verse 5. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Oh, my goodness. Paul was quoting history. So it is very possible that even we today, after we say we're eating and drinking, right? Enjoying the Lord. Nobody uses the word enjoyment probably more than we do. Right? How long have you been talking about the word enjoying Christ? Enjoyment. Oh, enjoying, enjoying. But sometimes I put a big question mark whether they are really enjoying. Sometimes I'm already afraid to use the word enjoy. I would prefer to use the word experiencing. Right? Appropriating Christ, applying him. You can enjoy, enjoy, but I don't know what they're enjoying. But with most of them, not just some of them, God was not well pleased. And that generation all died except two. Not too many. Verse 6, now these things, forget about it, they are not important. What did he say?
Became our examples.
Really? The five woes that we heard this morning, what are they? Just history? Then you can forget about them. Huh? So what are you going to do with these five woes? What do you think these five woes were written by in Isaiah? Huh? Why do you need such example? You are absolutely right. Thank you for helping me. Because we are not in any way different. And these words must be written and must be spoken today, not just once, not just twice, but oftentimes repeatedly spoken to us so that we will not forget, because we are the same. We are all related to them. Remember Ishmael. Remember Edom, Esau. Because we are the same. Our flesh is not any better than their flesh. Our self and our soul life is not any better, right? Does it sound familiar what our brother was sharing this morning? It was in Isaiah and all these five words. Huh? It sounds familiar? Does it sound familiar to you, brother? I think it sounds very familiar. I thought he was talking about me. I thought, Mo is talking about me. Aren't you? Well, that's right. Isaiah is talking about me, about you, about each and every one of us, because we're in the same situation today. Now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You think we Christians cannot be like that? Sam, what do you think? Ah. No exception, right? What is born of the flesh is flesh and remain flesh. That's right. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and then rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23 people fell. Oh, I missed how many zeros? 23,000. In one day. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor complain. Who doesn't like to complain here? Let me ask, who likes to complain here? My hand is the tallest here. Don't you like to complain? Wow. Wow, he is really an exception. And were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come now. It's written for us now. More than ever before. More than ever before. We need to pay attention to these things. Don't think they're Old Testament. I heard so many people say, they're Old Testament. When we speak it, they say, that's Old Testament. But when they use the Old Testament, they don't say that to themselves. It's very strange. The people are strange. They were just like the Jews in those days. Amen. May the Lord have mercy on us that these words are spoken to us for us to learn and to experience, to save us, to the uttermost. Without these words, we just pray, Lord, save me to the uttermost. But in what way? From what is he going to save you? So without the word, without reading all these words in the Holy Scriptures, you will not know in what area you and I need to be saved. But praise the Lord for the examples. Right? It is really very, very helpful. And this is why I hope that after this conference, you will not take this word lightly, but go home, read it again. Read it again and pray over it and say, Lord, save me. Don't read it for others. Don't read it as history, but read it for you and for me. I have to read it for myself. Say, Lord, save me from every one of these woes. While it's still written as woes, it is to warn you. But if you don't take heed of this warning, then the woes turn into judgment. Very severe judgment. That's why it's called woe. Woe. It becomes a tragedy for you. Tragic. Because judgment will come. Today, these woes are for us to help us to repent. Warning. But if you don't take this warning and I don't take this warning, then there is no other choice for God but to bring judgment. So praise the Lord. All these words are necessary. Don't think it doesn't apply. It is very applicable. Very, very applicable. Right. So let's go back to Isaiah. Now that we know that it is written for us, especially at the end of this age, how much more we need to take heed. We need to learn from it. Amen. And do not think that it doesn't apply to us. Right. Amen. Let's go back to 22. Chapter 22. It's we'll try to make it simple. Right. Tonight, in the midst of all these chapters concerning judgment, now all of a sudden the Lord just slipped in chapter 22 through Isaiah, talking about Judah. Yeah, talking about Jerusalem. Meaning to say that, number one, we are not free from judgment. Don't think this judgment, God is just going to judge the world. It's not going to judge us. I don't have to repeat the verse that Peter says that judgment must begin with us. Must begin with us. And remember, if we refuse to turn today and learn, okay, then we have to partake of the judgment of the world. Yeah. That's why many of the Christians, many of God's people will have to go through the great day of God's wrath. Just like the nation of Israel in the days of old. Their judgment was really terrible. And if you read the history written by Josephus, it was really terrible judgment. I don't need to repeat it, but the judgment was really terrible. Right? And even the Lord said concerning the prince coming to destroy the nation of Israel. Right? In Matthew chapter 24, the devastation, destruction, sufferings, and the evil done to that country, he says, was never before happened to such a nation and never shall be. Talking about the destruction of a nation. It was so terrible. It's because of that hardness of the rebellious heart. You think God wanted to do that? Even the Lord Jesus wept for them before it happened, just like Isaiah. Isaiah wept. But the people were happy, rejoicing, having a party, and that's what's happening in chapter 22. The prophet who knew what's coming was weeping for them. But the people are having a ball, celebrating. I don't know what they're celebrating about. Right. Without any sins. And even they thought it is okay. Right. And there certainly there must have been some false prophets telling them, Messiah, everything is going to be okay. Nothing is going to happen. Don't worry, right? Don't worry. Well, don't worry. What are we going to do? Right? So you have to realize that this is the situation today. You warn people. Have you been warning people about the Lord's coming? Who have been doing that? Yeah, we have been doing that, right? What was the reaction?
You can't say when the Lord will come.
You can't say.
You can't predict when the Lord will
come. But suppose, okay, but suppose he is going to come. So what are you going to do?
He's saying the Lord will come back. We've been saying it for the past 40 years.
Oh, what if he happens to come back now? What are you going to do?
I say, we'll all be fine. Because we'll all be raptured.
And what if not?
I say, God is love.
They don't care. People don't care. Just like in chapter 22. The judgment is coming. The judgment is coming, but they don't care. They don't care. And this is really very sad. This is very sad. Yeah. They're intoxicated, like we heard this morning. They were all intoxicated. And if you're intoxicated, God will help you to send you another kind of spirit. What kind of a spirit is it? Spirit of a deep sleep. God will help you. Hey, you want to be intoxicated? Let me help you to be more intoxicated. Let me put you to sleep. The deep sleep, it means you put you in a trance. You're like hypnotized. You're numbed. God will give you a shot of anesthesia and he'll tell George to do it. Because George is an anesthesiologist and he will help you so that when the danger and the knife came into you, you will not feel it. Right? Isn't that your profession? You like to do that? Well, so don't think God only sent Holy Spirit. God can use, he has a lot of strange servants also. If you don't want to listen to the truth, he will send you a spirit of lies to you. Mom?
Like with AM.
Exactly. Exactly. And he will ask for volunteers. He will ask for volunteers. And there are many of those who like to volunteer. Maybe when you read a Bible, you don't bother to, you know, look into that, right? But hey, even here in Isaiah, God says, well, since you are like that, let me help you. Let me help you. Lord Jesus. And even, yeah, Paul said so, because they do not have the love for the truth. God will then send them something for them to believe in a lie. This is really amazing. This is really, really amazing. This is judgment. It's already judgment. You know, if we refuse to listen to God's word, if we refuse to take heed, then God will send you into darkness. Yeah. And even like we heard this morning, even their prophets will prophesy lies to them. Because they like to listen to that lie. Right? Even their seers will prophesy something that is not true. And we just recently experienced that. Right. It's exactly what the Word of God says. So the burden against the valley of vision. What is this valley of vision? Tell me. Ah, this is the only place, the only chapter mentioned Jerusalem as the valley. Every time we talk about Jerusalem, is it going down? I'm going down to Jerusalem. This song of descent. Song of descent. Where are you going? Oh, I'm descending down to Jerusalem. Do you ever hear of people saying that? Let's go down to the house of God. No? Let's all go up. Let's all go up. Beautiful in... Huh? In the depth, beautiful in the valley, in the deepest valley. What did it say now concerning Zion? Beautiful in elevation. Come on, it's a valley of vision. Never elsewhere in the scripture does it mention that Jerusalem is a valley of vision. In fact, when the Lord comes back, Jerusalem will even go higher. And every place around Jerusalem will become plain. It's not called and never called the Valley of Zion. It's always called Mount Zion. Right? All these first fruits and the raptured standing with a lamb in the valley of Zion. Never before. Never before. Yes, vision, because Jerusalem is a place where God spoke and showed his vision. Right? There's so much vision. All the prophets have seen vision, wonderful vision. Especially the vision of Jerusalem. Where did God take John to see the vision of Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem? To the high mountain. Where else can you see Jerusalem? What about Babylon? To the wilderness. To the wilderness. So, I know, again, there are quite a few people, almost everyone says, well, it's because Jerusalem has valley and it lies in the valley. I don't see that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want to go down to Jerusalem. But our song means down in Babylon, right? We never sang up in Babylon. Nobody sang that, right? It'll be terrible. But let's go up to Jerusalem, right? The chorus, right? Later says we go up to Jerusalem. Bring up, come up, go up. It's all up. Now is the church in Fountain Valley. Up or down?
Well, at least there's a fountain
here. May the Lord have mercy on us to show us that although we live in the Fountain Valley, but the church here, Zion, is up, not down in the valley. It's not good to be in the valley, spiritually speaking. That's right, we should be up. That is why chapter 22, it's talk about the valley of vision. But then, what kind of a vision did they see? What is the vision here in chapter 22? The only place that's up that they went up is the rooftop. That's not very high. And what are they doing on the rooftop? They are celebrating, making noise and joyful, eating and drinking there. I don't know what they are doing there. Yeah. So, once we fall, once we do not listen to the word of the Lord, you're going to fall backwards and downwards. Yeah. So, many of us Christians, we use the word backsliding, right? You go backwards. Yep. What ails you now? What's troubling you? That you all have gone up, not to Jerusalem, but to the housetop. You who are full of noise. A tumultuous city. A joyous city. Right. So, this is a terrible situation then. It's not necessary to talk about it because it's very similar to chapter 1. This low, terrible condition of God's people. And yet the trouble is they don't sense it. That is the trouble. They became insensitive. People became complacent about it. And many of them didn't even believe it. And of course, during that time, Isaiah was talking about the attack from the Assyrians, from King Sennacherib. Yeah. And Hezekiah, at that particular time, was taking the gold from the temple and paying tribute to him. So many of them thought, it's okay, nothing is going to happen. But hey, you think the enemy will be satisfied? I don't think so, right? Yeah, and even at that time, not just in Jerusalem, but in the whole Judah at that time, the rulers fled altogether. Yeah, the rulers fled. They are captured by the archers. And all who are found in you are bound together. They have fled. Many of them fled from faraway places. They thought Jerusalem is a secured place. Right? But a prophet said, look away from me, because I will weep bitterly. Do not labor or try hard to comfort me, because the prophet saw a very different situation. It depends on what vision you have. It's a valley of vision. If you're in the valley, I don't know what kind of a vision you're going to see. Yeah. What the people saw is exactly the opposite of what Isaiah the prophet saw. And today, isn't it the situation? Mercy, when you came from that wonderful conference, right? You saw something. It's a wonderful vision concerning the kingdom. And our sister thought many of his friends and her friends and relatives will really also see when you tell them, right? Were you surprised? Did they take your testimony? Is there any reaction? Wow, really? There's the kingdom? Are they all ears to listen? Nobody wants to hear you, right? Because you have a different vision. At that time, you went up to the mountain and you saw a vision. And then you came back to the valley. The San Fernando Valley. Nobody in that vision, in that valley, wants to see the vision. Very strange. So what was your reaction? Were you so happy? You were weeping in your heart, right? I remember you telling me, I thought they would be so happy to listen. But nobody cares. Nobody wants to listen. And she's weeping in a way. Sad. Sad. Really sad. Right. And this is the whole situation today. But nevertheless, we must be the voice in the wilderness. That's why the fourth verse is very important. We are the voice in the wilderness, paving the way of the Lord. Oh Lord, the prophet saw the day of trouble, treading down in perplexity, by the Lord God of hosts, in the valley of vision, it's going to happen there. They don't have real vision anymore. So what the vision is for this valley is destruction. It's not very good. The breaking down of the walls and of crying to the mountain. And then verse 6 and 7 talks about the enemy, right? At that time, Persia and the Medes, the Medians, were the army of the Assyrians. So they were all preparing their chariots and their shields and their arrows and polishing their weapons ready to attack. But people still having a good time there. They didn't think that they're going to make it. Yeah. Oh Lord, oh Lord. And then, of course, they trust in their own ways of defense. Terrible what they have done. There are so many breaches, so many breaches. And for example, in verse 10, you number the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses you broke down to fortify the walls. You have to break down the houses to fortify the walls. You made a reservoir between the two walls. They did so many things. Verse 11, but they did not look to its maker, to the Lord. Nor did you have respect for him, for God who fashioned it a long time ago. Right. They didn't trust in the living God anymore. No more. Oh, Lord Jesus. And in that day, the Lord God of hosts called for weeping, for mourning, for boldness, for girding with sackcloth. But instead, what happened? Joy and gladness, my goodness. They should actually be repenting. They should have torn their clothes and repent and cry out to God to save them. Well, the Lord asked them to do that. But instead, what did they do? Wow. My goodness. It's the exact opposite, like what our brother shared this morning. It's the exact opposite. The Lord's coming again should be a day of judgment. Very dreadful. But all the Christians are so happy he's coming because they all believe nothing's going to happen to them. They'll all go to heaven. They'll go to heaven. They have absolutely no idea of what's going to happen. So now that you know, wow, Jerusalem is now recognized officially as the eternal capital of Israel. Wow, what do? Rejoice? Yes, of course, on one hand you rejoice. But is that all that you do? Because why? Why? Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem is not a capital. Exactly. Because that's a sign that the Lord is coming soon. So what are you going to do? Rejoice or repent? Both starting with R-E, re. Rejoice or repent. And then slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine. And there is a saying at that time, right? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul used that verse too in 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah. Right? Oh, the day of the end is coming. Well, what are we going to do? Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we'll go to heaven. We're not going to die, we're going to heaven. So let's eat and drink and celebrate. And enjoy life. Yeah. Enjoy life. Right? Come over to my house. Let's drink wine. Let's enjoy life. How about that? So, right. It is a very sad situation. That means they are altogether insensitive. This is terrible. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Then it was revealed in my hearing by the Lord of hosts. Then the Lord of hosts says, surely for this iniquity there will be no atonement for you, even to your death, says the Lord God of hosts. Wow, that is a serious sentencing. God pronounced the sentence. If we are like that today, then there is no atonement. Learn from it. Learn from it. Right, just like when the Lord Jesus came, the King of Kings came himself 2,000 years ago to his own people. God himself came. The Son of God came. And they killed him. Right. So what can the Lord do? So the Lord predicted judgment. And every prediction in the word of the Lord in Matthew chapter 24, as also in Luke chapter 21, every word was literally fulfilled. So the word of God is to be taken seriously. Don't just listen to the five woes. Right. Amen. So at the end, God has no choice. Although Isaiah has warned them. Actually, it was God warning through Isaiah to his people. So let us have ears to hear. And take the word of God seriously. You know, it is not hard. It is not difficult. We make ourselves difficult. We are the problem. We don't listen. You know, if someone won't listen, okay, what can I say? You cannot say anything. Oh Lord, then there are two parts here. Two parts in Isaiah chapter 22. The first part is concerning the insensitivity of God's people, believing not in the word of God, trusting not in God. But definitely there were false prophets, false elders, telling them something different than what God has spoken. And people listened to that instead of to the Lord. But that exposed that even the people themselves do not know the Spirit. They don't know the Lord. Right? We talk so much about life, about church, about the Spirit. But at the very end, there is neither life, nor Spirit, nor the reality of the church life. Now the second part is just as important because it's related to the first part. You know, the people is in such a condition, it's because the leadership took the lead to be in such a situation. If you have that President something, I forgot his name, but it starts with O. It's not abomination, no. It's just I don't know, but it's something like that. Very close, very close. I anyway, but very close. Then the whole country becomes like that. You think I'm joking? If thieves rule the country, the whole government becomes thieves. And so in chapter 1, you can see the whole body is sick from head to toes and then from toes to the head. Sick. But it starts with the head first. I remember giving a conference in 2011 or 2010, I forgot now exact date, concerning the mystery of the seven stars. You know the mystery of the seven stars? Everybody stressed the matter of the mystery of the seven golden lampstands, right? 七个金灯台，是不是？听了很多吗？有没有听到七星的奥秘啊？很少人讲七星的奥秘啊。Right? Tell me the truth. Do you hear more about the seven golden lampstands or seven stars? Huh? Lampstands, how about you? How about you? Lampstand, everybody only hears about the golden lampstands. But praise the Lord, as the Lord opened our eyes to see how important actually the seven stars. And the Lord mentioned the mystery of the seven stars first. And he did not hold the lampstand in his hands. He held what? The seven stars in his right hand. And it's because of the experience in the past 40-some years that we went through that the Lord opened our eyes to see how important the mystery is of the seven stars. Except we just don't see it. If I look back in history, all of the problems of the churches came from the leading ones. It started with the leading ones. If the leading ones are okay, then there's peace in the whole church. If the leading ones are not okay, the whole church will be KO, knocked out. The opposite of okay is KO. Of course, we don't use the word KO in English, but in German, KO means you're knocked out. In English also, KO, you got KO. That's right. You're knocked out. All because of the leading ones. My. While during that conference in Bangkok, the service conference, I asked everybody, what do you think is more important, the seven stars or the seven golden lampstands? Everybody, unanimous, says the golden lampstand. I said, you're mistaken. It's the seven stars. Even some people came up after the meeting, after that meeting, said, no, come on, why did you say it's the seven stars? Well, it is really so. You all have to read that book. I don't know if it's in English or not. Is it in English? Mystery of the Seven Stars? Oh, yeah, please help yourself with it. That shows that if the leading ones, and especially the elders, became fallen, then the whole church is gone. This is very, very important. We need to see. If the elders are no longer faithful or following another direction instead of the Lord, you don't listen to the Lord anymore, and the eldership replaced the headship of Christ, that is why the Lord hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. These Nicolaitans are the leading ones, actually, who became powerful and think that God, right, has given them the authority and everybody has to listen to them. And not listening to the Lord anymore, then this is going to be bad. Yeah. Then the whole church will go down the drain. If the president of the country, of any country, is really out of whack. Meaning to say, doing everything wrong. Right. The country will go down the drain. No wonder one of the presidents says, I'm going to drain the swamp. Well, how did a country become a swamp? Right? Lord Jesus, it is so important for the leadership of a church to be fully under the right hand, held by the right hand of this wonderful, great heavenly high priest. You must be under his authority. You must be under his leadership. Yep. You must be a star. You know a star? First of all, it's heavenly, right? If you're earthly, you're not a star. You are a piece of a sand. You're dust. Then you must be shining. Yep, shining. A shining star, not a fallen star. You have to be shining. You have to be heavenly. You have to be shining. If not, I don't know what a church is going to become. It's not possible. That's why we come to the second point here. Thus says the Lord God of hosts. Now this is the second portion of chapter 22. Go, proceed to this steward, to Shebna. Remember this name. It's an infamous name, Shebna. Who is over the house. My goodness, over God's house. Over the house of Israel. What have you here? And whom have you here? That you have hewn a sepulchre here. As he who hews himself a sepulchre on high, who carves a tomb for himself in a rock. Oh my goodness. You know, of course, perhaps in the early days, you know, just like the Pharaoh before they die, even, you know, while they are still healthy and alive, they build a pyramid, a glorified tomb for themselves, right? And so all the rich and high, powerful positioned people of the country, like Shebna, he also built himself a sepulcher. Spiritually speaking, today, in this valley of vision, this is another kind of vision here. You know, if you are so much for yourself in the house of God, if you are in the church life assuming a position, so much for your own power, and doing your own thing, and building something for yourself, you know what you'll end up building? You will end up digging your own grave on the ground, and in the ground. Pretty soon you won't be standing on the ground, you'll be lying in the ground. This is what that man, Shebna, was doing. Instead of caring for the country and for the people and to help them, he is building a sepulcher for himself. You like to do that? A lot of people today are building themselves a sepulcher. But you know, Shibna will not even lie in his own sepulcher. God will not even let him lie down in his glorified sepulcher. Yeah. Indeed, the Lord will throw you away violently. Oh, mighty man, mighty man. Let me tell you, that's what the name Shibna means, vigor. Full of strength. The natural man and the flesh is so strong, the Shibna. Yeah. Strong man, mighty man, everybody must listen to him. Powerful, powerful. Yeah. So the Lord will surely seize you. He will surely turn violently and toss you like a soccer ball into a large country, which is Babylon. He's going to throw you there, kick you like a soccer ball. How far can you kick a ball? All right. You're training yourself to kick, right? You can kick the ball quite far, right? Yeah. Well, can you imagine God kicking a ball? You will end up in the moon if God kicks the ball. You think God is going to treat you just nicely? No, he's not going to treat you nicely. Remember that. So you still want to be an elder? Be an apostle? I'm the apostle. Boy, I've heard that. I'm the, not just an apostle, but I'm the apostle. My, that ball, when kicked by the Lord, my, I don't know where you're going to end up. floating in the space somewhere. Like a satellite. Yep, he will surely turn violently. Yep, and toss you like a ball into a large country. There you shall die. So when you are there, then even your glorified sepulcher is useless. Can you imagine that? And there your glorious chariots shall be the shame of your master's house. So I will drive you out of your office, and from your position, he will pull you down. I like to shout this so that all of Germany will hear it and all of Europe will hear this. Because people say, the Lord has appointed me, and we will never give up our position as elders. Never. Isaiah says differently. Isaiah said differently. Appointed. Why are you so much for appointing? Position? Are you a position? How many times, how many years have I been telling the brothers from the very day one that eldership is not a position? Because I've seen it everywhere. Once it became a position, I tell you, it will ruin you. Then you're finished. And I said, the only position is a position of a slave. If there is a position. then it is a position of a slave. And you like to be a slave? To serve others just like the Lord? The Lord says, I came to be served. What did the Lord say? The Son of Man came to be served. What did he say? To serve and not to be served. But we came exactly the opposite. Just like what our brother shared this morning, what Isaiah said, the top became the bottom became the top. Everything is upside down. The wrong side up. It is very sad. And this is what's happening. Yeah. I will drive you out of your office. Wow. Praise God. I love this word. It's music to my ears. It's music to my ears. Wirklich. It's wonderful. I will drive you out of your position. From your position, he will pull you down. You don't like to come down? He will pull you down. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take this as an eternal promise. Yeah, this is what God will do. You know why God is so angry? Because it destroyed the people. It destroyed his people. This unfaithful steward destroyed God's people. Yeah. So if we don't learn this, then you might as well go home. Not only the ones leading the church should learn this, but all the saints who are in the church life must learn this. Yeah. Not to look at eldership as such a high position. No, no, it is never a position. Right. We are just servants to one another. The Lord says very clearly, one is your master, you're all brothers. And the greatest among you shall be the servant of all. We should not be like the nations in the world, where the kings rule over the subjects. But he who is greatest among you must be the servant of all. Yeah, the greater you are, the more the lower you become. Not like the world. The world, you climb the ladder. But in the church life, we don't climb the ladder, we descend from the ladder. The higher you are, the lower you must go. Just like our Lord Jesus. He's the highest. But he went to the lowest part. If you're really high spiritually, then you must be one who is willing to go down to the lowest. Don't let the saints serve you, but you must serve them. If you cannot do that, let other people have that office who can do it. This is very, very important. Otherwise, you will destroy the saints and you will be kicked by the Lord violently like a soccer ball. And God aimed very straightforwardly and sent you to the moon somewhere. But then, praise the Lord, there's a positive side of it. Then it shall be in that day, in the day that this man will be kicked away like a ball, pulled down from his position and drive out of his office, put to shame, that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Eliakim. The name means one set up by God. This is really the one set up by God. Precious. Behold, I will lay a precious stone in Zion, a cornerstone, precious, set up by God. So that's the name Eliakim. Who do you think Eliakim is? Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So if somebody is appointed, then you have to realize that it is not you, it has to be Christ. Paul says it is not I. But he was appointed as an apostle. But if you ask him, he would say, no, it's not I, but it is Christ in me. He did so many things, and yet he says, it's not I, but it is the grace of God that is in me. Woe to you if it says it's I. Learn to say, no, it is not I, but Christ. Right? Yep. Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your rope. Shebna, take off your rope. If you don't take it off, I will take it off from you. I will strip it off from you. Yes, and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. And he shall be a leader to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. A what? A father. A real leader must be a father, full of love, full of care, serving the saints. Right? Two, your son is serving you? Why not? He's your son. He should be serving you. No? So who is serving who? What? You're serving your son? He's your son, you know. He should be serving you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He's a father. You want to be a serving one. Serve as a father. Not as a taskmaster. Not a, well, you're doing this all wrong. And why are you doing this? And we should do this. And let me arrange it for you. And let me do this. And hey, that's not the right way to do it. Is that a way we serve? Right. Do you pray for the saints every day? You know, Paul, in his epistles, he wrote that he's like a nursing mother to them. And he's like a father to them. He called Timothy my son in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Where do you see this today? Right. A father teaches the son, not like a teacher in school. Not like a professor at the university. But we teach like a pastor in the church life, giving a message every Sunday, and that's it. Whether you do it or you don't do it, it's okay as long as you appreciate my message. Was that a good message last Sunday? Yeah. So what if it's a good message? If your burden, what you're doing is just to impart some knowledge to the saints, you're not a father. No, you must impart some nourishment that can really help them and strengthen them in the inner man, that they can grow and be strengthened and learn to experience Christ. You must lead them to the Lord, not lead them to you. Right. He's a father, Eliakim. Ah, Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm jumped to. To the next page. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful person. What a wonderful steward. And a key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. My, what a wonderful key. The key of the whole treasure of the house of David. He is the faithful steward that took care of everything in the household. You know, if you are a steward in the house of the living God in the church, don't just sit in the office and do office work and take care of counting money, counting how much money we have, and then doing just... directing work. You become a director. Yeah. And everybody just has to report to you. Don't be like that. That's, I don't know what kind of a position that is. But a father. And one that takes care of everything in the house. That's why an elder is called an overseer. You take an oversight. Right. Anyway, it's already 10 after 9. I'm sorry. Shall we continue tomorrow? Or we continue now? You're tired? Yeah? Tired? Tired. If you don't answer, that means yes. Let's continue tomorrow. Amen. That's it.